heard of the word nootropic? Well, probably not, but it's a hot word right now because it's the brain. How can we get our brain to function better when so many people are just having brain fog? Forget about brain fog. I just want my brain to function at its best. You know, it's one of the first signs of premature aging is when you have brain fog and your brain doesn't work. And obviously dementia is a massive epidemic. Well, on this show, we're going to talk about what you can do about that, how you can prevent it. But we go beyond that. I have an expert in aging, and we're going to talk about mitochondrial health. We're going to talk about the things that we have both done to reverse our cellular age. At one point, I was more than 10 years. My cellular age was 10 years ahead of my actual age. That's not good. My sickness played into that. But we'll talk about what I did to reverse that. Now it's the opposite. So every one of these things you can do, and we talk about it on this show. Some amazing tips. You're going to love it. I'll see you on the show.
Everyone, welcome to Cellular Healing TV. I'm Ashley Smith, and today we welcome Dr. Greg Kelly, who is a naturopathic physician and the lead product formulator at Neurohacker Collective, which produce some of our favorite nootropics that we utilize to support mental performance and brain health. This will be a great conversation about how your cells and your mitochondria can drive the aging process, and you'll learn some strategies to improve them. So let's get started and welcome Dr. Kelly and Dr. Pompa to the show. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I love this topic. Look, I would think that most people watching this, they complain of brain fog and lack of energy. Boom. All right, this show covers it. And then the other thing, I mean, my interest, you know, after regaining my health is, you know, how do I prevent aging prematurely, which I was. By the way, hey, Greg, you know, I've done telomere testing and every age testing. At one point, I was 11 years older at my cellular age, you know, and that was due to my illness, of course. But even that was even after I was doing better things and even after I got my life back. But my cellular age was still basically saying, hey, I'm going to get an age-related disease.
Yep.
And so the last many, many years I've been, you know, diving deep into how do I stop this premature aging that I've set up because of poor living and neurotoxins at my cellular level. You know, you have developed some incredible products that Dave Asprey absolutely loves, you know, I love, and many of us in this world. When we look at aging, we look at, you know, our joints fail, we end up in pain too early, and our brain goes. It starts with brain fog, so we have to talk about that. You know, so everyone thinks, oh, aging, you know, I don't care if I die. No. This is, I would rather live 80 healthy years than 100, where the last 10 are the typical aging, you know, degenerative diseases, and that's the problem today. So obviously that's a concern of you, and obviously that's where your whole company is focused around, you know. So let's start, Greg, you know, what aging, what are some of these things? I mean, whether you've lost your health or you want to regain your health or you're just wanting to live a great, healthy life or a brain fog, I mean, you're aging. You're aging at the cellular level. Like, what does that mean?
Well, for sure, the cells are where it's going on, right? So there's, I think of there being two huge camps in the aging world. So there's one camp that would essentially say that aging is largely a problem of damage accumulation. So essentially junk proteins and these other things accumulate in our cells and cause our cells to essentially underperform. And then we get the symptoms you mentioned, pain, inflammation, saggy skin, weight gain. Another camp would say that it's more like our cells are programmed to get older. So essentially the epigenetics, the way our genes express themselves as we get older, changes. And the truth is there's an element of both camps that's Absolutely. Right. And they're both going on. It's almost like a vicious cycle. If you get damage accumulation, that can change how the genes express themselves. If the genes express themselves differently, that can cause damage accumulation. So in either case, you have to start at the cellular level to start to make a big impact on what we would think of as, and as you termed, quality years. So health span is usually how we would language it.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this is cell TV, right? You have to fix the cell to get well. If you don't want to age or die of an age-related disease or suffer from one, you better fix the cell to get well. I mean, and that's the focus of a lot of the ingredients that you've, you know, spent the, at least the latter years of your life studying and what we're going to talk about. But people going, well, how do I know if I'm aging prematurely? Because I wouldn't have thought, after I got my life back, I wouldn't have thought I was aging prematurely, but yet my cellular age was more than 10 years, you know, over my actual age, according to telomere testing.
Yeah, I mean, I think of us as having at a minimum four different ages. So we have our chronological age, you know, our birthday, essentially, how many years we've been alive. Mm-hmm. Then we have our biological age. And so telomeres is one way to do that. DNA methylation test is another. I'm guessing you know about it, but your audience probably doesn't, called phenotypic age, where you take 10 things that are parts of normal lab testing, like a chem panel, CBC, and then CRP, like a marker of inflammation, and put those into an algorithm, and it crunches out how old you are based on that. So there's a couple different ways to do biological age. And then I think of two other things. So we would have our felt age. So if I said, you know, how old do you feel? And, or how old do I feel? Most of us are going to say younger than our, you know, our birth age, right? So that's our felt age. But then a fourth one that tracks pretty well with health is how old do other people think that we are when they look at us. And if you get enough pool of people doing that, it actually tests out to be really as accurate as our biological age.
Interesting.
So one of the things that I've seen in science is that our birth age or chronological age is probably the least predictive of health and longevity. But how old our cells are and how old other people view us to be, those are super predictive.
Yeah, I've taken the telomere test, different companies, different methods, and all pretty accurate, I would say. And I just finished the DNA methylation type of aging. I haven't got that result back. I just did it because that's newer science.
Yeah,
it's gotten a little bit better to the point where I'm like, okay, this is, you know, worthy of doing. And there's actually two different companies that I'm actually experimenting with, one from London and one from here in the US. But anyways, so, but I think you're right. I think when we look at somebody, I mean, I can look at somebody and go, oh, they're, you know, I feel great. And I'm looking at them going, you're aging. Yeah. You know, it's like, and again, I think you can look at people's eyes. I think you can look at their skin. You know, there's just a look. It goes beyond, you know, if you try to specific, you know, make it specific, right? There's just a look about it that you can pretty much guess somebody's biological age.
Yeah, I mean, I go, for your audience, I was an officer in the Navy back in my pre-naturopathic doctor life in the 80s, and pretty harsh lifestyle, right? You're living cramped in ships, sleep deprived, rotating shift work. And I just remember at the time being in my mid-20s and seeing some of the, you know, the chiefs. So that would be the Navy equivalent of the sergeants, enlisted people that had been in, you know, 18, 20 years. And a lot of them looked like they had aged in dog years, right? Yeah. I think there's a truism to that statement. When we look at someone and they look a lot older than they should be, or frankly, I want to look younger than I am. So even someone that's just aging and looks like they are their age, to me, that's not a win. We can do better than that.
Oh, there's no doubt. And obviously we can have a dramatic effect on it. I did, you know, I'm, I have to look at my test, but I mean, I'm more than 10 years younger now and I've spun that hard, but I mean, granted, I do a lot of things. I mean, I really was intentional about changing that, you know, so, you know, but the bottom line is we can in fact change it. And I think that's the message. And therefore I've changed my outcome. For me, it's not about living, you know, 10 or even 20 years longer. It really is about, I've been sick. I don't ever want to go back. So when we look at the cellular functions, I mean, I teach these people my five R's, you know, how to fix a cell, how to detox a cell. And the answer that you're going to give will lie in this five R's. But what cellular functions really have you found that really are playing a role in, you know, us aging faster than normal, or more importantly, how we reverse it.
So I would say, you know, the mitochondria, we think, and some of the people.
Our number three, by the way, restoring cell energy.
Is somewhere in the mix of the heavy hitters for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so for, you know, your audience would know, like, that's what makes ATP, our cellular energy. And our mitochondria, I tend to think of as a network, right? They're often drawn as if there's one or two of them in a cell, but there's hundreds to thousands in our individual cells, and they're constantly reshaping that network.
Wow.
So, you know, habits like exercise can build a fitter mitochondrial network. Periodic fasting. So, you know, we just did a 3-day fasting mimicking diet, water fast here at Neurohacker. To do that once a quarter, more, maybe slightly less frequently, that can really make a big difference.
There's no doubt. The studies on fasting are dramatic. You know, whether it's water, partial, intermittent, I mean, all of it definitely gets rid of bad cells and makes new cells. Yep. And has a dramatic effect on even getting rid of bad mitochondria. Which is mitophagy, as it's called. And we're learning about that. If we get rid of the bad ones, you know, my gosh, we make new ones. So to your point.
Yeah. And then we had Dr. Cruz on our show our podcast not too long ago. And he was just adamant nature, getting out, seeing sunrise, sunset, getting out in nature was super important for the mitochondria. Yeah. But then the other thing that comes up all the time in research is polyphenols. So I'm not sure if it's something you've talked to your audience about, but polyphenols are really a category of plant compounds that encompass everything from citrus bioflavonoids to resveratrol from grapes to compounds that give coffee and chocolate a lot of their health benefits. And like a polyphenol-rich diet, and the way I think of that is almost like the fruits and vegetable recommendation, that you want a variety. It tends to be the same with polyphenols, that having a abundance of them in our diet, and especially a variety, is really great for our cells, but specifically for the mitochondria.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. The phenols, the polyphenols, and the plant compounds and everything that goes with it are very, very important. Okay. So let's dig a little deeper.
Sure.
Some people, we talked about fasting, right? I mean, okay, you know, I fast. Beyond Fasting is my book. Mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent. It's part of what I did to reverse my aging. I just, you know, I started teaching fasting in the 90s, you know, when no one cared. You know, it's just recently now in vogue. But, you know, I mean, one of the things, again, seeing a number helped me, because then I started making it, you know, I became way more intentional about something I already knew about. All right, but, you know, let's go beyond fasting, the name of my book. You know, people don't want to fast necessarily, or they don't, you know, whatever. They're not fasting. They may want to, but they're just not fasting enough. Let's give some tips that you have found that actually work, you know, in some nutrients that someone can actually take. There's so much out there. You know, and right now there's a word that is circulating. It's called nootropics. Mm-hmm. These are things that we know work for the brain, but it happens to be the same things that actually work for basically aging.
Yeah, well, you know, so the brain is one of the most like metabolically active tissues, right? I think generally it's thought it burns about 25% of our fuel. And so the brain is usually going to be among the first things affected from both toxins and from things that are health promoting, because it is such an active tissue. And so the idea of nootropics, and just, I guess, stepping back for a second, nootropic came from finding this one compound, racetam is the name of the drug. And the person that discovered that drug, what he found is when he had people take it, he got lots of people telling him that, my focus was way better. My, you know, mental energy improved. My memory was fantastic. And so he coined the word nootropic. And nootropic, the simple way to think of it is, these are just compounds that make your brain work at a much higher performing level. And so there's a huge range of things that could be thought of as in the nootropic category. And the other thing that we've seen a huge blossoming of in the last 2 years is, would the term ergogenic be something your audience is familiar with?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about herbalomics as a name that we actually utilize, but I would say no.
Ergogenics is just the category of compounds that improve exercise performance. So what our muscles, as it turns out, are also a super active tissue. So what I've seen over the last, I'd say, 5 or 6 years in research is it's been a blurring together of things that help the brain and things that help exercise. And where it used to be somewhat partitioned, what we're seeing now is things like creatine that used to be thought of as just for muscle heads. Now lots of great research on that as a nootropic, something that really can support better brain performance. Conversely, there's things like alpha GPC, which is a really great choline source.
Yes.
That's always been thought of, and the research goes back 20 years, for cognitive brain performance. But now there's a couple of studies that have shown that it improves essentially force and velocity in lifting types of exercises. So the nootropic and the ergogenic worlds are starting to more and more fuse. And what we're finding is things that make us perform better mentally make us perform better athletically, and vice versa.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And folks, by the way, I want you to talk about the products you put together, because a lot of people are going, okay, where do I find these ingredients? And by the way, you haven't even hit a fraction of them. PQQ, and we can keep going down a long list of nootropics. And by the way, to your point, though, nootropics is a big, wide category. There's drugs that are nootropics.
Absolutely.
Microdose, different things like mushrooms and things, and they call them nootropics. And they are nootropics, but I don't necessarily think those are all good for you necessarily. You're good doing. So the ones that you're focusing on are the herbals or some of these other phenols and things that in fact are good for you and are nootropics. And by the way, brain fog, is not normal. And brain fog is no doubt a sign of your age struggling and your mitochondria struggling. So all of these are in solid research, these ingredients to helping the brain fog and symptoms of low energy, which again are symptoms of premature aging. So what are the products? I mean, I take them, actually. And by the way, folks, you can get them here on from Revelation Health. I will have Ashley put the link. So
our two nootropics are Qualia Mind, and then basically like a slimmed down version of it called Qualia Focus that is essentially the same core formula, but it's removed a few things like the PQQ, phosphatidylserine. So we think of that as kind of the entry level, but the Qualia Mind would be our advanced formula that it's like personally what I take and what we have most of our research on. And
let's spell Qualia, because it's Q-U-A-L-I-A, correct?
Yes, correct.
I'm dyslexic, so I have to even look down to make sure I spell it right.
When it's,
that's why there's other dyslexics out there like me that have no idea what Qualia, No, it's Q. Anyways,
we'll put like in our company's Neurohacker Collective, but Qualia has almost in the outside world become what we're known for. So quite often when I'm at, like paleo or other things where I've run into you, people think of us as the Qualia people as opposed
to. I didn't even know your other name until, I think we did a show together. But I think you have Qualia. Oh, Qualia. Yeah, there are booths over there. Oh, I love it. I'm going to go grab their samples. I take their stuff. So Qualia of Mind and Qualia of Focus. So you're saying that the Qualia of Mind, kind of review that again.
Yeah, so I think of the Qualia of Mind would be our more advanced formula. The Qualia of Focus is our entry level. So
okay. Why would you start? Why not go right for the advanced? Why would I start with Focus?
Created Focus largely for a price point. Part because our director of wholesale wanted something that could get into more retail outlets, and the Qualia of Mind is such a premier product. It's not a great fit in that world.
Yeah, no, listen, I mean, that's the thing I love. Like when I create a product, they always have to get me to like make something that's going to sell on store shelves. It's like, I'm so not interested in that. I create a product for me, man. I know you created, you know, quality of mind for that very reason for you too. You know, it's like, you know, when I looked at and read the ingredients, I'm like, oh, I don't know the price it is. It's going to be expensive because I know how expensive these things are, but that's what it takes for something to really work, man, and charge you.
Oh yeah. Things like PQQ, crazy expensive.
Yeah. I mean, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Pay more and get something that actually works, you know, and every ingredient in there is really scientifically studied, you know, to affect the mind, you know, but again, it goes beyond the mind. It goes into the mitochondria and into the cell. I think the mind is the selling point, but when you affect the cell, you affect the mind.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So what we see with, you know, like I take Quality of Mind usually first thing in the morning on my way as I go to the gym. By the time I get to the gym 15, 20 minutes later, I feel like it helps me stay mentally strong and tough for my entire workout. And it also makes it kind of like me more invigorated for the workout. So the truth is I track my, you know, workouts using an app, and pretty much month in, month out, I progress in my exercise, which pre-doing nootropics, that just wasn't the case. I would plateau for huge amounts of time.
Yeah. Well, you know, people are watching this, right? Hey, Pompa takes, how come you never told me about it? Well, we just started carrying on Rev Health. I've been taking it for a year. Yeah. But yeah, that's simply what I do though. Before I recommend it, I'm using it. I look at, you know, the product carefully, and as I did yours. And then I eventually carry it on my website because, you know, it was hard to get otherwise, but now we got to carry it. It makes it easier.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, in addition to, you know, great ingredients, one of the things we've seen, especially before we ever put a product into the wild, we do a lot of what we would think of as in-house testing, where we give it out to friends and family. And then, you know, assuming we dial in a recipe we're happy with, then we do usually a 50 to 70 or so person test to make sure that it works in the wild. And what we found, it takes us a long time to release a product because we're often changing amounts and ratios of things. And especially with nootropic ingredients, there's certain things that tend to work really well when they're at kind of ratios to each other. So caffeine and theanine, as an example, like one of the things you'd look for typically in a well thought out nootropic is it would have both. But it would have usually at least as much theanine as caffeine. And typically the ideal is more of a twice as much ratio. Mm. So I know when I look at nootropics, it's often easy to see who's thought things out well and who hasn't.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I just go right for the best, man. I don't ever want to make a product or create a product that's already been created and I love. And yeah. So, you know, I won't be creating a nootropic like this. We've got yours. What else is in your line?
So the Qualia was our original product. And in April, we launched what we think of as a healthy aging product. So something in that space for the first time called Eternus. And Eternus, you know, 100% focused on cell health, mitochondria. But what we've seen is because, as we've been talking about, when you improve mitochondria, when you improve health, you know, brain performance tends to perform or upgrade as well. So we've had, you know, much more, I guess, feedback that it's been a nootropic for some people than we actually anticipated. Yeah. We're thinking of it much more as something to take for healthy aging, productivity, better workouts, improved sleep, things in that area. And what we've seen is there's been a subset of people that have felt like it's worked as well as Qualia for doing the focus, the mental benefits that they're used to.
You know, one of the things I love about the products is you take them, you feel a difference, you know. Yeah. I mean, immediately, I like products like that. You know, it's, you know when you have it, you know when you don't. And, you know, it's, again, it's the quality that you've put into it. So I hope people no doubt hear that. All right, let's go beyond the product. I mean, when we're talking about aging, when we're talking about, you know, biohacking our cell, our mitochondria, our brain, what other big tips? This is an area of study for you. What other big biohacks do you love?
You know, I've always been a huge fan of things that travel well. So, you know, having big expensive machines I wouldn't be the go-to guy for that. I've used but you know, like blue light blocking glasses, huge fan of those. I've been using those personally for more than a decade. And I just think, you know, with the number of people that have, you know, issues with sleep or with their body clock, you know, if you're on screens after dark, you know, getting some good blue blockers and using those routinely at night, super important.
Now, does it take a while for that? Because I hear all the time, oh, I tried that. Does it take a period of time before you actually feel the benefits of that?
I would say I've seen some people, especially people with problems with sleep, sometimes it be a huge difference very quickly. But for most people, I would think it's more subtle. So what I notice personally, if I don't use them and I'm on a TV or watching TV a lot at night on my computer, within a couple days, I feel it in terms of eye strain. My eyes will be maybe a little more watery in the morning. My nervous system will feel just a little bit more fragile, like I've, you know, dejuiced myself a little bit. And if I put those on for a night or two, it rebalances that. So for me, I can feel the difference very quickly.
What else?
So I'm a huge fan of how you start your day. So getting some exposure to natural light, at least 5 to 10 minutes as early in your day as possible.
I do it too.
So, you know, I'm lucky I live in San Diego. I, you know, typically have my coffee sitting outside somewhere, you know, somewhere around 7:30, sometimes as early as 6.
Yeah, that morning light is what I try to get as well. It's filled with all the red lights, kind of with these lights around our daily lives kind of deplete. You know, we're not getting that, you know, those red spectrums and near infrared. And I mean, beyond that, I mean, it's that morning light is just filled with what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things we forget is that light is a rainbow of colors, and that the percentage of those colors varies tremendously across the day.
Yeah.
So early in the day, if you look, you'll see a lot more blue. You know, end of the day with sunsets, you know, colors much more oranges and reds. So, sure. You know, I think naturalistic lighting in all its forms is, you know, our main brain body clock, that's what centers it.
Yeah, you want that blue light in the morning. That's exactly right. Nature does it right. You're right. When you look out at the sunset, you don't see blue.
That's right.
Reds and oranges in the morning, it's blue, right? I mean, it's, you know, absolutely.
Then another thing, I'm just a huge fan of anything to do with circadian rhythm, circadian and function. And one of the consistent themes that comes out of that research is regularity. So, and only in certain things, it's important that we're fairly regular in terms of when we eat and when we get up and go to bed. So if we can, you know, stay, you know, essentially consistent day in, day out in those three areas, good things tend to happen. And I think the reason is, in a simple sense, digesting food's super hard. We have to get everything lined up both to digest it and to protect ourselves from the things we're using to digest it. And when we eat irregularly, it's much harder for the body to predict and get all those things scheduled on time. So what I've seen, I don't know if it would match your experience, is quite often people with digestive things, if you can get them to eat under more naturalistic lighting and at more regular times, much better things tend to happen.
Yeah, and you know, no doubt the thing that affects my deep sleep, which I measure with my Oura Ring, I'm sure you do as well, is eating late. It's predictive for me. I my heart rate's even up higher, you know, it's, you know, and it does, it affects my deep sleep. So I try to eat, you know, at least 4 hours before bed.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I generally think with the seasons, I'm probably a little bit later with my last meal this time of year, much earlier when it gets to the darker.
You know, on the weekends, admittedly, I'm later, right? You know, because I'm outside more, whatever, right? Whatever the reason, or we're out doing something, or, you know, but, you know, I can predict it, you know, but it's what you do, you know, exactly, you know, if 2 days a week you miss it, 5 days you're hitting it. And, you know, your body adapts, but it's what you do most of. So I think you're right, though. I mean, it's, you know, that rhythm, we carry the rhythms in our life, and that shows up, you know, in our sleep, that shows up in our sympathetic, parasympathetic balance, heart rate variability. I mean, all just predictors of good cellular health.
One of the things I remember reading this in, it's probably a book that goes back 20 years ago, but I think it was called The Body Clock Diet, but I'm not 100% sure of the title. But anyways, they had different functions in the body drawn at different clock times. And one of the things that I recall reading in it was that the time that our stomach made the most stomach acid was actually between about 10 and midnight. And when I looked into it, the idea was that it made it then to actually decontaminate itself from everything that had built up during the day. But if we were trying to digest food during that same window, it couldn't do the cleanup. And, you know, as you and I both know, cleanup super important, right? That at a cellular, but at like debris is just ubiquitous in our body if we don't allow the cleanup functions to work.
Well, you know, I mean, on a rhythm, there's something called the migrating motor complex, and it's a group of nerves that is connected to your small intestine. Its job is to move particles of debris through the small intestine, even food particles, which are that, because if they stay there too long, they actually feed the bacteria in the small intestine and they start to overpopulate. One of the number one things that we're seeing in people that they think is food allergies is actually small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. It's caused from this, the rhythm of the migrating motor complex being disrupted. And again, toxins can disrupt it, but a lot of this out of circadian rhythm can also affect it. It happens mostly at night. When ghrelin, you know, there's certain hormones that actually are affecting it. And when that's out of rhythm, you screw everything up. So, little tip. Yeah.
So, and then I think the last thing, and at least it's always been super important to me, and something that I used to do a lot of mind-body medicine work and teaching back in my, I would say like 15, 20 years ago. And I think for lack of a better word, the stories we tell ourselves, I think, can make a profound difference in our health.
Yeah.
And so, like, if we go to aging, that metaphor we started with of dog years, right? Like, mine goes to the movie, I think it's Finding Nemo, but there's a scene and Nemo meets these sea turtles and asks, you know, how old are you? And the sea turtle says, oh, 120, dude, but still young, and kind of a surfer voice. So, you know, my motto or my story since then is I do things so that I can age in sea turtle years. And so, you know, one of the things I will routinely do when I listen to people is to see if I can ferret out the stories that they're telling themselves. So, you know, like I've had some good friends that their story at some point was, you know, essentially I'm happy to trade, you know, healthy aging for having fun now. You know, by the time they hit 40, that story wasn't serving them so well. So.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I always say about my illness is where it served me well was I fear ever going back. And therefore I do a lot of things, you know, there's two things, fear and pleasure, that drive humans, right? Yeah. It's like, well, I'll tell you, both of them drive me with my health. I love mountain biking. I love being able to keep up with my kids. I can only do that if I'm pain-free and have energy. And I do, you know, so, okay, that's pleasure driving me. And the pain side is, man, I fear going back, and it drives me to do these things, you know? And so it makes me really focused on it. It's paid off. I'm 54 years old and I feel better. I have more energy than most people that I know, day in, day out, pain-free. But you get what you focus on. Intentionally, I created that, you know, intentionally I said, man, I'm not going back there.
Yeah.
I'm going to change the second part of my life.
I don't know how many of your audience would, you know, have had the experience of meeting you live like I have, but you have like this vibrancy too in person that you can, you know, tell that whatever you're doing is really working.
Yeah. Well, look, everything we're talking about that you and I do, I do, and I'm committed to do it. I'm committed to bringing it to the people. I know if people would just do these things that we're talking about on this show, their life's going to change. You know? And that's, I just get a thrill from that. I get a thrill from getting the email that, oh my God, I watched that show and I started doing this. And, you know, gosh, you know, you were right. It really affected my life. That's why I do this. Honestly, I do this because I do it myself. I can't help but to sniff out the best product, the best thing. And I do it for myself and I never hold it there. Anything I do for myself, I bring to the people, you know, and your company is one of them, you know, honestly. So that's why you're here on Sell TV. So thanks for your input. Thanks for your years of experience as well. I think this is just some great information that people need to put into their life, including your products. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been definitely a pleasure to be on your show and to get to talk with you again.
Absolutely, Greg. Appreciate it. I'll see you at the next seminar, I'm sure.
Sounds great.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right, bye.
Well, that's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. This episode was brought to you by Cyto Detox. Please check it out at buycytonow.com. We'll be back next week and every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. We truly appreciate your support. You can always find us at cellularhealing.tv, and please remember to spread the love by liking, subscribing, giving an iTunes review, and sharing the show with anyone you think may benefit from the information heard here. And as always, thanks for listening.